And if you run out of cookies, like Thin Mints, there's a price to be paid.
Really?
Yeah.
The Worth Report, featuring Nick Wharton and Glenn Wright.
Probably the thing that gives you the most pause, that the issues that girls are facing today are not very different from the issues that we faced when we were girls. What has changed, I think, is the speed at which that feedback comes back to the girl through social media. It's kind of walking the walk. If I'm going to be a leader that's espousing these five values and skill sets for girls, that I have to kind of walk the walk.
We'll take a look at the past, present, and future of the financial landscape and discuss how it affects you, your family, the world around you, and most importantly, your retirement.
It's also made me think, you know, what's going to happen if I get sick, if I decide to retire, you know, what kind of the decisions that I've been making all along are going to have that long-term impact.
This is The Worth Report. Now, here are your hosts, Nick Wharton and Glenn Wright.
Good Saturday, and welcome to The Worth Report. If it's Saturday morning, it's The Worth Report. I'm your host, Nick Wharton, along with Glenn Wright, founder and president of Worth Financial. Each week, our brand promises to bring you news that you can immediately use to manage your financial planning and offer commentary on local, national, and global events that affect your ability to sustain your financial future. Glenn, my friend, how are you this morning?
Good morning, man. I'm doing great. How about yourself, Nick?
I'm doing absolutely wonderful. I understand you've been traveling the world.
I have. It's been fantastic. I just got back from Asia. I went to China, went to Thailand, and also went to Australia.
Wow.
So,
wow. What a globetrotter.
Had an amazing time. But I'm looking forward to the session where we're going to talk about that, talk about how I paid for it.
Wow.
So I'm looking forward to that.
Well, I'm looking forward to that. Well, I'm sure you took copious notes on what you learned about Asian culture, financial planning, and how it all kind of comes together for our friends across the water.
I will. But one point I will add, did you know there are a ton of Krispy Kremes in Australia?
No.
On every other block. Krispy Kreme. I couldn't believe it.
Wow. Are they different kinds of Krispy
Kreme? Same Krispy Kreme.
Man, you got to be kidding.
The hot sign came on. I was right over there.
Wow. Wow. Well, you know, as you know, we're still on this Women's History Month journey, and we've had the great opportunity to talk with a number of leaders who are making a striking difference in our city.
Yes.
And today, we're just very excited. We have Angela Woods, who's the Chief Executive Officer of the Girl Scouts Hornets Nest.
Yes.
And just a little about Angela. She joined the Girl Scouts Hornets Nest Council on January 15, 2014 as the CEO. She brings more than 17 years of combined nonprofit and for-profit leadership to the Girl Scouts. Wow. In her role as CEO, Woods provides leadership, strategic direction, and vision for staff and adult volunteers to position the Girl Scouts Hornets Nest Council as the premier voice for girls. She works to ensure the council's relevance in communities throughout 8th County coverage area, promoting Girl Scout visibility and strengthening the public perception of Girl Scout image through the Girl Scouts leadership experience. And there's so much more here that we'll get to, but you know, the first thing that came to my mind is I thank you so much for bringing all these Girl Scout cookies here.
That's what we do.
Man, that was spot on. Got me in a great mood. How about you,
Glenn? Oh, I'm ecstatic.
Wow.
I'm ecstatic.
Shortbread, man. I see all of my friends there on the table. Mm-hmm. That's all right. So tell us about your journey leading the Girl Scouts.
Well, it's been a magnificent role being a Girl Scout leader. And I was just saying in another talk that I did yesterday at CPCC, if you had asked me 10 years ago that I would be heading my second council, I probably would have said, What? I'm not crafty. I don't camp. I don't do any of those traditional things that are naturally associated with Girl Scouting. But as I've learned what Girl Scouting is about today, it is about empowering girls to be courageous, have confidence, and building their character. And so coming to this role was really a blessing for me. I started my career in Charlotte with a little-known bank called NCNB back in the day.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And was in this community for about 14 years, both on the banking side and the philanthropic side. Worked with United Way and then had the opportunity to follow my now husband in D.C. and worked at that United Way for a couple of years. And then I got a call from Girl Scouts. So we were in D.C. and we moved from D.C. to Memphis, Tennessee.
Mm.
And that was a little bit of a change.
Sounds like an adjustment.
A little bit.
How much of an adjustment?
Oh my. Well, see, I grew up in Southwest Georgia. So all Benny. That's right on the Florida line. So it had been a while since I'd been in the Deep South.
Mm-hmm.
And I hadn't really been to, I'd been to Eastern Tennessee, but had not been on the Western side. So when I really found out that my territory was going to be 59 counties, all of Western Tennessee, the top half of Mississippi. Mm-hmm. You have to say Mississippi. Mm-hmm. It's not Mississippi. It's
That's
Mississippi.
Right. I see.
And Arkansas. I had a little trepidation about it, but it seemed like it's going to be a great challenge. And the folks that I met and worked with were tremendous. And the girls that I worked with were tremendous. So that was great.
Well, I'm just looking at your academic background. Obviously, you're a proud Spelman grad.
Yes.
As well as earned your MBA from Clark Atlanta University and your law degree from the University of Georgia.
Yes.
You've had just extraordinary professional opportunities in the nonprofit space. How has your academic background and your background in general prepared you for the leadership roles you've acquired?
So as I think about how I kind of came through all of that, it really, for me, was about service. You know, I didn't go to law school because I wanted to be a lawyer. I went to law school because my parents thought it was a good idea. And I got my business degree because I figured I needed to round that off and have some options. But really, when I've made my choices about careers, it's always been about those careers that had something to do with service. So I started the volunteer perspective. And then when I was working in banking, I volunteered a lot. And then I decided, you know, I think I want to make this a career move. Mm-hmm. And so I joined an organization at the entry level and kind of worked my way up. And what you find, I think, is a business model is a business model. We run businesses, not for profits, it's just as a tax designation, but we serve mission. Mm-hmm. So for me, if I'm working in an organization that serves mission, then I know I'm aligned with my purpose.
Wow, that's spot on. So when I hear you say your parents, you know, kind of recommended you go to law school. Right?
They didn't really kind of recommend. It was one of the strong suggestions.
Well, yeah, I was trying to put it in a nice way. It sounded like you're going to law school.
Uh-huh.
So that says something about your family values, right? It says
mm-hmm.
something about, you know, how you were raised. And
mm-hmm.
as with the other individuals we've interviewed, they've had very compelling stories about their journey and their sort of strategic inflection points that sort of push them in one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
So talk a little bit about your family values and how
it
sort of shaped your mindset.
So, you know, I'm the proud product of a two-parent household, high mm-hmm. achievers. My mom was an educator mm-hmm. in the school system, and she taught what was then called special ed, and she kind of resembled, what's the guy who used to do the Lean on Me? She kept a bat in her room,
but her
students loved her.
Yeah.
They really loved her. So I learned about
Joe Clark from Patton.
Yes,
High
Joe
School.
Clark, yeah. Mm-hmm. And she was passionate about her kids. And my dad was the first African-American OBGYN in Albany, Georgia. So he was a hard charger.
Wow.
So he had kind of a weird celebrity. It was a celebrity of being the first African-American. But it was very, very embarrassing for me being in a small town, having your dad be an OBGYN.
I bet it was.
Yes, because they would always select him to come talk to my health class.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
We'll just leave that there.
Okay. let's have a moment of pause for that. Okay, that was difficult.
Yeah, that was difficult. That was difficult. But what I learned, they're both deceased now, but what I learned from them is that service is the rent you pay for your space on this earth.
Mm.
You know, they did not come from means. They worked their way through, and they were very fortunate and blessed. And they never let my brother and I forget that. And so, you know, we're in service. It's amazing. After my dad has been deceased for 5 years, and my mom passed away 20 years ago. And my brother started his own not-for-profit and is a school teacher.
Really?
Yes, I was very glad that he firmed up and went on his way to something productive. We're both in service. We both believe in family.
Mm.
We both believe that making a place better for the folks that come behind us is really kind of the critical part of what drives us every single day. And as we've gotten older, we've been able to look back and see how our steps have taken us to that path.
Wow. So you bring a sort of surgical lens to girls.
Yeah.
And what's happened with girls, figuratively and literally. Right?
Oh, yeah, and I have one in my house.
Well, there you have it. So what is the state of young girls today? What are they dealing with, and how is the society dealing with them?
Well, I think the interesting part, and probably the thing that gives you the most pause, that the issues that girls are facing today are not very different from the issues that we faced when we were girls. Girls are still struggling to be heard. They're still struggling with self-confidence. They're still struggling with how they look, and they're still struggling with having outside influences create a sense of competence for them. Mm-hmm. That hasn't changed. What has changed, I think, is the speed at which that feedback comes back to the girl through social media.
Wow.
So that currency in how girls are beginning to view themselves and do view themselves is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and it's intensive. And so when I think about my 15-year-old stepdaughter, she often, I can tell her she's beautiful and smart, and her dad, more importantly, tells her the same. But she views her self-confidence by the number of likes she gets on Instagram.
Mm.
And that's a thing that's challenging, I think, as we talk about Girl Scout. And we have to take our experience and break it down for girls. So what and oftentimes we try to take them away from the social media and let them interact together, because that we're losing the ability for kids to talk to each other and to interact with each other. And that's why I think you see so much of the violence, because kids don't know how to relate anymore. They're just on their phones.
So Glenn and I serve on the women and side, serve on the Women's Intercultural Exchange board.
Yes, great organization.
Si, you have daughters, I believe. I have two daughters. One is an attorney, one is a marketing executive assistant to a graphics analyst in Brooklyn. And I have incredible conversations with my daughters about who they are, whose they are, mm-hmm. right, and how they proceed in life, really. And it's a journey. It's an absolute journey. So, you know, this is the challenge we're in. So if you look at the terrain right now, what's on the horizon? What's good that's happening out there for young girls? What's positive?
Well, what I think we've seen, particularly through our program and other programs like Girls on the Run, is that when they participate in something like Girl Scouts, it's a leveling effect. So mm-hmm. everybody is on the same level, and girls are encouraged to lead in their own way. They're encouraged to have experiences that they've never had before. One of the most powerful things that we do is we support a group called Girls Go Beyond, which is our girls who don't have access to us. They may not be able to afford us. They may not have been able to
Girls Go Beyond.
Mm-hmm. Those are traditionally called outreach troops, but I didn't like term, because that makes it seem like it's other than. And we wanted them to have the same level of experience that a traditional Girl Scout would have. And so when we were taking girls from their zip code up to our camp to be out in nature, or just simply taking them to South Park. There are girls in this community who have not been to South Park. Mm. Just to broaden their horizons and have that experience, meeting new friends. And then at the same time, we kind of slip in some learning opportunities for them.
Wow.
I'll tell you a really quick story. We had an opportunity through Microsoft, who gave us a huge software donation. And their only requirement was that we bring girls to the opening of their store in South Park. And so we thought, who can we bring? So we brought the girls who were in Idyllwild Elementary, which is right next door to our council. They had never been anywhere. They'd never been on a field trip. They'd never been to South Park. So we put them in a van. We drove them and their parents down to South Park. They were at the front of the line. They got to see the opening. They got to interact with the employees. They got to play with all the stuff, the things that we take for granted our kids have. These children, these girls didn't have that. And so when you are able to create an experience like that for girls, then the hope is that then they're able to create another experience for another girl who had the same may not have the same access.
So if I can just take that and sort of look at it at a systems level, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here in Charlotte, Charlotte's been listed 50 out of 50
yes.
cities
in
economic
right.
mobility, with mm-hmm. the last nationally. It has interesting implications even globally
right.
in terms of this issue of economic mobility.
Mm-hmm.
How is the Girl Scouts engaged in that work, trying to shift that reality?
Well, you know, honestly, I think our perception has always been that we have all primarily targeted a certain demographic, mm-hmm. you know, kind of middle class.
Mm-hmm.
And I think our opportunities and our efforts are to be visible through Girls Go Beyond is that we're beyond that. And we want to serve girls who want to be a part of us. And we don't want to make it difficult. So we bring the program to the girls. We don't require them to come to us. And we also think that partnership is really critical. So like in Memphis, you know, you have to have a trusted community partner. It doesn't always have to be us. We, at the moment, are relaunching our Latina initiative. And I'm not surprised about the findings in Charlotte, because there's so many girls who aren't being served by anybody, primarily because they don't have access to transportation. Their parents are in the shadows, so they're not able to participate in a big way. But they care about their children, and they want them to be a part of the American dream. And so I think Girl Scouting provides that opportunity for them. And that's how we raise money, because we think it's important to invest. We invest in those girls. If they're productive, then by them being productive, then their families will be productive, and it all rolls upward.
Wow. That's perfect. That's exactly how it happened. You're obviously building social capital in so many ways.
I've got a few questions. Okay. One that comes to mind is about the Girls Go Beyond.
Yes.
For our listeners, if they want to give, and I know we know about the cookies.
Right.
But what other ways are they able to give if they want to help that part of the organization?
Sure. So the easiest way to do that is to go on our website, and we have a donate button, but it's www.hngirlscoutsplural.org, and it tells you different ways to give. You know, as an example, it takes about $300 for a year of programming. So if people want to make a donation to support a girl all the way through, that covers her uniforms, that covers her programming, it takes about $300.
Wow.
And so that's how we kind of we sell it and fundraise for it, so that people can understand where that money goes. The other way is that if girls are a part of this and our Girls Go Beyond, they also sell cookies. And cookies is a way for girls to become self-sufficient. This is probably the first year that our Girls Go Beyond have participated in our product sale. But this is a way that they're not feeling like everything is being paid for. They're invested in the sale. Mm-hmm. They're making the money. They're deciding where that money goes for. They pick what they want to do. They make the decisions about that. So the empowerment piece is important. So donating, and as much as money is important, we need volunteers. Probably more than we need money. Now, my fund development person is probably going to stab me for saying that.
Right, exactly.
But it's true. We can't deliver the program without the volunteers.
Mm-hmm. Can people who want to volunteer, can they go to the website to get information as well?
They absolutely can.
Okay.
That's excellent.
Coming from banking, your journey is a little different.
Mm-hmm.
What I've found is many people who are in the nonprofit space grew up in the nonprofit space. Mm-hmm. But coming from banking is quite unique. And to your point, it's a nonprofit, but it's a business.
It's a business.
And you need money. Mm-hmm. It takes resources to accomplish these goals. How have you used that form of leadership coming from the for-profit space and going in and bringing that here?
Right.
What type of things have you done, and what benefits do you think that part of your journey brought to what you do now?
I think having the business process experience is really critically important. Understanding, having a good understanding of what basic financial management is, knowing what to look for in an audit, understanding what a 990 means, which is just a basic tax form that not-for-profits do, but understanding what those numbers are and what impacts those numbers. I think that was a great skill set that I derived from the for-profit side. Mm-hmm. But I think what you're seeing, particularly in the last 10 or 15 years, that you see more and more executives that have that knowledge. A lot of my peers have MBAs, or they have that background, because you have to be able to know and forecast where your revenues are going to come in, or if they're not going to come in, what kind of expenses you're going to have, and how does that equate to the number of people you serve.
Right.
So it's very translatable. And I think, you know, when boards are looking for executive directors, they're looking for you to have that business savvy and that experience as well.
So when I think about the popularity of Girl Scout cookies, tell us a little bit about what are the business metrics around the cookie sales? I mean, how does that all come together? How does that drive business? Because I find it fascinating. I love the cookies, but I just...
Well, Colleen, who's here, we're going to write our own story about we're going to call it Behind the Cookie.
Great.
I love it.
Write that down. Yeah.
Right.
So, you know, the cookie sale is a multi-million dollar business on a national level. And for our council, it is about 70% of our overall revenue. So we, and I say we because it really is the girls and their parents that sell cookies. You know, we sell on average about 1 million packages a year. And if you can imagine what that takes to have those many girls going across our region selling that many cookies every single year, it's a interesting amalgamation of logistics, because there's a lot of logistics that are involved. It's a lot of forecasting about where we think we're going to be, where the girls, how many girls are going to actually sell. Why aren't they selling? What kind of marketing and visibility do we need to drive the sale? And so for us, it is very much like running a business. And so we look at what we're spending on the cookie itself. We look at what we're giving to the troops and looking at those metrics all the time, making those adjustments. And then we do sales-based incentives. Mm-hmm. So if you're a salesperson, you know all about the incentive structure. Cookies our cookie sale has incentives built in as well that drive girls to sell. And there's five really skills. If you look at the mm-hmm. cookie box in front of you, right. which is really kind of neat, it talks about the five things that girls learn, goal setting, decision-making, money management, people skills, business ethics. They learn how to say how to go around the no, and so no means not yet.
Good. Oh yeah, they just stare at me like cry.
They are very savvy about how they do it, and so it's a great opportunity for them to learn that and be their own individual cookie boss.
Wow. We can talk about that forever.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
It's almost the story behind iPhone. Oh, yeah. It's like the story behind the cookie. I love it. You know.
Yeah. And if you run out of cookies like Thin Mints, there's a price to be paid.
Really?
Yes.
Mm. Wow. Mm. So each affiliate is given X amount of cookies, I suppose, right?
Well, they order, but Thin Mints, I believe, is our number one seller in this community. And so we have a baker that, you know, has his own production schedule. And so we have to hold their feet to the fire about, you know, making sure our product is here when it's supposed to be here and all of that. So
Just
like any other business.
That's a tough business. Man, I feel very different about those shortbreads now, man.
And like, people are not very patient when you don't have Thin Mints.
a question I have, this is all great. So and what you've talked about is you use financial information and what you do every day.
Right.
When people think of nonprofits, they might not think about these things. So it's great that you brought it up. How has this, your journey and even what you do now, when you think about finances on a personal level, how has that affected your thought process?
I think it's made me think about the financial mistakes that I've made, right? Mm. And it's made me look at those factors like not being an emotional spender or what drives you to make the investments that you make. It also has, as I've gotten older, it's also made me think, you know, what's going to happen if I get sick? If I decide to retire, you know, what kind of the decisions that I've been making all along are going to have that long-term impact. Mm. So I think it's kind of walking the walk. If I'm going to be a leader that's espousing these five values and skill sets for girls, that I have to kind of walk the walk. And it's not an easy walk, particularly if you're used to doing things a certain way. So I've learned a lot about myself through this process, you know, that enables me to say with a straight face to a girl, here are some financial decisions you might be able to make and learn from my mistakes.
If you were, let's say you're speaking to someone right now and they're going through, they've graduated from college. Mm-hmm. We had a show where we talked about college debt, which is huge. Mm-hmm. And they're, you know, this young lady's working and trying to find her way. Mm-hmm. What steps would you give her? What advice from a financial perspective, would you give her to help her as she starts her journey?
I think I'd have to be honest about looking at her resources. And, you know, this is something, you know, my daughter's 15 and I have a stepson who's 23. But the tuition is tremendously expensive. And I am not a supporter of weighing down children with a whole bunch of debt. And they're not going to, they may not be able to have a job that supports the debt. The debt level is tripled, since I've come out of college. So my advice would be look at your assets and see if you can't afford it, if you don't have scholarships, if you can't do that, maybe this is a journey that takes a little bit longer. Look at the broad scope of colleges, because we have an amazing community school system, college system here. Look and see, because you can get the quality of education. You don't always have to go to Chapel Hill. Right. It's great to do that. Don't get me wrong. There's a lot of Chapel Hill folks, but there's a whole host of other organizations and colleges that can support you, but that may not cost as much. But really valuing, you know, trying to give her a picture of in 4 years from now or 5 years from now, you know, what do you want to be able to do? What decisions can you make? And if your decisions are going to be drastically changed by the amount of debt that you're carrying.
Mm. Wow.
They are.
That's
so
good stuff. Well, this has been an amazing conversation, Angela. Thank you
thank you
so much.
It's been fantastic. We could probably go all day. So, but we can stop there. I think that was fantastic. Very insightful. And we really appreciate you sharing and being honest. What I've found is so many people don't talk about mistakes that they've made. They think that, you know, it's only them who's ever made them. So therefore, they do nothing about it to change what they're doing. But you bringing that up, that's we really appreciate that. I know that's going to go a long way.
And thank you so much for being so candid and honest. We really appreciate that. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And we'll meet again.
All right.
And thanks for bringing those cookies, too.
Enjoy. Share. Right. And enjoy.
I don't know about sharing, but okay.
You're listening to The Work Report with Nick Wharton and Glenn Wright, giving you financial news you can use.
Let's face it. It's unavoidable. Taxes. But see, that's the great thing about Worth Financial. They put the right people around you to help you with every part of your financial future, like putting you in touch with the right person to handle your taxes. You know, it's funny. You see one commercial telling you all you need is a piece of software, plug in a few numbers, and your taxes are done. And another commercial tells you, you need an expert, you've got to have an expert. Well, the truth is, you just need to call Worth Financial. So pick up the phone and call them, 704-731-0121, or visit worthadvisors.com. That's 704-731-0121 or online at worthadvisors.com.
Giving you financial news you can use.
This is The Work Report
with Nick Wharton and Glenn Wright.
Welcome back to The Work Report. Glenn, that was some interview with Angela Woods.
Indeed.
That was absolutely amazing. I learned more about the Girl Scouts than I ever thought I would. And in fact, we were able to drill down into the Girl Scout cookie program, where it really is teaching goal setting, decision making, money management, people skills, and business ethics. In fact, it is right on every box. What do you think about that?
Can't get any better than that.
Wow.
Can't get any better than that. I'm going to tell you, Nick, I'm going to tell you what I thought about. I listened to her, and she talked about, for one, I appreciated her again sharing all that excellent information about some of the mistakes that she's made and been forthright there. That was fantastic. But also, I'm thinking about the business overall. It's a $4 box of cookies, but that $4 box turned to an $800 million per year business. Can you believe that? And how did it get there? She has financial education. They have good financial people around them. And that's how you're able to take a $4 box to an $800 million business. Our listeners need to do the same thing. It's important for us, as you look at your financial planning, whether you're starting with 50 cents or $50 million, it doesn't matter, to make sure you have good people around you. And when you have good people around you to help you and assist you, because we don't know everything about everything. That's why you're listening to the show. Hopefully you bought the book, The Financial Shepherd, or you're meeting great financial planners like someone who's a certified financial planner like myself. And you get this information, and that's how you can grow. Either if you want to start a business, you want to save for retirement, you want to save for college education, that's how you get there, by having the right people around you.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. You know, Angela's response to the issues that young girls are facing today, I thought was spot on and insightful in terms of girls' image about themselves, their body, how they think, whether they're pretty enough, all those things, right? But yet, this is a program, the Girl Scouts, that is working almost at a systems level to provide the kind of entrepreneurial education.
Indeed.
So that young girls can determine their own futures by being good business people. So as I think about, and we love Girl Scouts, I don't know anybody who doesn't love Girl Scouts cookies, but now I look at that box of cookies in a very different way, and it happened in about 20 minutes. That's such a strong value proposition as to why you buy Girl Scout cookies now. You're now actually helping young entrepreneurs develop.
Yes.
Right? Powerful stuff. And young girls at that. Wow. What an interview.
From goal setting all the way down to business ethics, I think it's amazing. And I'm going to enjoy my Thin Mint cookies that much more.
Absolutely.
After this interview.
Well, and you raised Thin Mints. That's right. That's right. Absolutely. And I have just a different understanding about what it takes to make a cookie. I mean, that's good stuff, man. You talk about financial news that you can use and eat.
Yeah.
Wow, man. I think it doesn't get any better than that.
Indeed.
Excellent. Have a great week, Glenn.
You too.
If you'd like more information about Worth Financial or you'd like to talk with one of the advisors, contact 704-731-0121 or go to their website at worthadvisors.com. Thanks and have a great week.